Chapter 9, The Open House. An open house is just that, open. Open to anyone who wants to come. Anyone from a criminal on the street to your ex-wife's snoopy boyfriend. Are you comfortable with that? When people think of selling real estate, they assume it requires a lot of open houses. Agents want you to believe that they're crucial to a sale, but they are not. While open houses are one of real estate's most traditional customs, they are not that important to actually sell a home. Many agents will defend it to their death, however. The best source of open house data is from NAR. They tell us, for example, that 52% of all sellers said their agent used open houses to market their home. However, their data is perplexing because it doesn't provide reasons why or even if open houses are a key to a sale. It's almost as if NAR purposely does not want anyone to know the truth about open houses. More on this later. Open houses were once a primary tool for real estate agents selling a home. It was the big reveal, the first showing for potential buyers. These days, however, buyers overwhelmingly say open houses are not their primary way of finding their dream home. Not even close. As a matter of fact, buyers tell us that their first viewing isn't at an open house, nor is it when they walk in the front door for the first time with their agent. Today's first showing of a home for sale is online, and it's actually been this way for a few decades. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. I won't tell you just yet that open houses are a waste of time or potentially worse. For now, I'll let you know what tens of thousands of home buyers across the nation have been saying for years. You guessed it, open houses don't sell houses. I wish I could tell you the evidence about the effectiveness of open houses for typical home sellers. The problem is, no one has this data because the National and State Associations of Realtors don't ask consumers. We have to make assumptions with purposely limited data. What did the statistics tell us? NAR said that in 2020, 6% of all buyers found the home they purchased through a sign or an open house sign. Wow, that's 94% unhelpful. What do the statistics tell us about an ordinary open house event? Nothing, because this question isn't asked. Here's another nugget of information from NAR. Only 3% of buyers visit an open house. Let's dig into more stats. NAR stats include all signs and open houses on existing and newly constructed and FSBO homes. Yes, all these types of sellers are put into one statistic. Maybe you didn't think this is a big deal. Keep listening. Every single day is basically an open house in a new development. In 2020, the percentage of new homes in the United States was 13%. According to the State of Home Builder Marketing Report 2020, 69% of American developers rely on signage and billboards to literally drive traffic to their home sites, where they have sales staff ready to give model home tours every day. However, we don't know the effectiveness of open houses just for new homes because NAR doesn't provide this data. Wouldn't it be useful to know the answer to this? The FSBO sellers are grouped into the open house statistics as well. According to NAR, FSBO sellers' number two marketing tool is hosting an open house. Number one is signage. NAR or CAR doesn't even provide the stats as to whether open houses generate more sales or increase the sales price. Is that intentional? Wouldn't everyone love to know whether open houses generate more offers and drive up the sales price? Sometimes the absence of something is just as significant as its presence. Not providing these statistics is telling. NAR does provide some news regarding the success of open houses. For the largest demographic of buyers, 7% found their agents through an open house visit, while 3% of sellers found their agents this way. That's how agents get 10% of their business. Did you know that it's 10 times better than print ads and more than 100 times better than emails? Many realtors feel that the data from our trade group is purposely incomplete to benefit our own members. After all, it clearly benefits agents to tell their sellers that open houses are effective. Again, FSBOs account for only 6% of all sales. So, to summarize, when you remove the new homes and FSBOs, the number of sales that happen from open houses is, at best, minuscule. If open houses don't benefit the seller, then why have one? Have you ever really thought about the ways agents get their business? Good looks, signs, ads, and emails don't cut it. FaceTime is the answer. FaceTime that often comes by way of your open house. That's how many agents build their businesses. It's not how your house gets sold. What about a virtual open house? I'm not a fan. It's a live stream of an agent walking through a house with others on the video call, but the buyer cannot control or record it. What's better are pre-recorded video or a 360-degree 3D virtual tour like Matterport, since both can be viewed at any time. Video is like photography. You can show only what you want to show, but 3D virtual tours show the good and the bad, and consumers spend a lot of time viewing these tours, and for good reason. More on this in Chapter 10. On NAR's website, there's a page titled Media Hooks for Realtor Open Houses. It's meant to help you pitch open houses to the media. In the past, NAR promoted a Realtor nationwide open house weekend. But as inventory went down over the years, and because of the ineffectiveness of open houses, they dropped the event. Different states and regions still hold their own open house weekends, where agents are encouraged to open their inventory to the public. But why? Most realtors are recognizing that the traditional open house will continue to sharply decline in effectiveness and use because of the 2020 pandemic. Again, with the pandemic, open houses went virtual since in-person events were discouraged by local health departments and consumers. Virtual showings and digital marketing increased tremendously as random in-person visits were banned by health officials. After reading through this chapter, you might agree that open houses will likely be used less over time. Still, the pandemic didn't put an end to open houses for good, and you'll soon see why. The benefits of open houses. If open houses are so ineffective at selling homes, why have one? That's because agents profit from them. They are fantastic platforms to display agents' talents and their brokerage's brand. In an open house, your home becomes what we call in the business a lead generation tool. They get to use your front room to market themselves, live and in person. Sure, while they say they're marketing your house, agents know better. This business is about getting leads. Buyer leads, seller leads, and referral leads. These leads help the agent and rarely bring offers to the homeowner. Even Realtor.com says your house is the agent's best free marketing platform around. Google it. I've heard many agents say that a crowd at an open house creates a sense of urgency and of competition. That's a very valid point, but do buyers really need to see other people to get a sense of urgency? I don't do open houses, and I can easily create a sense of urgency in an honest phone conversation with agents. If buyers are interested in a house, they almost always have their agent call the listing agent. Before the pandemic, one of my competitors in Pasadena held open houses every single weekend. If you met this agent at one of his listings, you'd notice his big notebook of flyers for properties he's sold over the years. Of course, he hands out flyers at every open house. It's all about him, not about the house. He sells a lot of real estate by using open houses as his primary lead generation tool. Some call him Mr. Open House. He will tell you that open houses work. Few agents will admit to the fact that open houses are ineffective for sellers. Most will still tell you how important it is to have one. We know that buyers like to go to open houses to get a feel for the area, to get a sense of the market, and to see what styles they like or dislike. Doesn't everyone love looking at decorating and design ideas? A home that's open to everyone is perfect for that. However, when buyers get serious, they overwhelmingly say they use the internet and their agent to select a home. Brokerage managers routinely tell their agents that every listing should generate 2 qualified buyer or seller leads. What do you think is the best way to get face-to-face with those leads? It's a well-known industry fact that prospective sellers go to open houses so they can get an idea of the marketplace and to meet agents. Ask any experienced agent. Weekends are for leads. Most agents still rely on open houses, which is a testament to the fact that agents are mostly focused on their own lead generation. The Real Estate Marketing Analysis Survey by RealTrends, a real estate consulting and research firm, asked agents what they invested in to promote their brand. 71% of agents responded with open houses. Old habits die hard, which is why we heard a lot about virtual open houses during the pandemic. As the world opened up, the industry pushed to get open houses going again. Motivated buyers don't need open houses. Because most buyers find their homes on the internet, most first showings happen online. The second showing is when the buyer steps into your home. If the house's online presence is done well, a buyer will want to see the home in person. While there are tons of looky-loos, a real buyer is motivated. They'll call their agent and make an appointment. Not having an open house won't stop a motivated buyer. No buyer has ever said, "I didn't buy that house because they didn't have an open house." You don't need an open house to find buyers for your home because most of the people who come to an open house aren't motivated. Targeting unmotivated buyers in the hopes of motivating them can work, and we've all heard the stories of someone walking into an open house and deciding right there to buy. Frankly, situations like this are rare and probably less than 0.1% of all sales. If your agent is going to focus on that, then they might as well place ads in the newspaper. Take a listen to Chapter 10. Ask anyone who's bought a house recently. They will most likely tell you when they found a home online and liked what they saw, they made an appointment to see the house. If it had an open house, well, that's nice. Remember, real buyers make appointments. That's how it's worked on all the homes I've sold. Who actually does the open house? Did you know that in many cases, the person handling your open house will not be the agent you hired? If you hired an experienced agent, you might see rookie colleagues running the open house so they can meet more people. Newer agents need to get leads, and they usually start working with buyers before they graduate to representing sellers. While there is no official data on what percentage of agents holding open houses are rookies, I wouldn't be surprised if it was as high as 50%. Things you don't want to hear. If agents have ever told you that they want to do open houses every weekend until it sells, or I want to bring buyers to see your home before we go on the market, or I already have buyers lined up, then those may be dual agents who are likely looking out for their wallet and not yours. They might be more motivated to get their buyer off their plate rather than getting the best deal for the seller. Dual agency with open houses. Over the course of my career, I've had several agents tell me that because I don't do open houses, I'm missing out on opportunities to get leads and to double end the house. They are 100% correct. It's easy for an open house agent to say, "If you want to write an offer, call your agent. If you want to get this house, then you should go through me." Unrepresented buyers often attend open houses, and they are, of course, potential new clients for the agent hosting the open house. However, buyers could lose their right to be represented by their own agent if they agree to be represented by the seller's agent. Commission disputes can erupt because the listing agent could refuse to split the commission with the buyer's agent. What a mess. Buyer beware. When you've attended an open house, have you seen the sign-in request? Did you know that signing in may actually impede your agent's ability to represent you in buying that house, unless you're willing to pay the commission? Sellers traditionally pay the commission, and it's split between the buyer's and the seller's brokerages. The listing agent could refuse to pay your agent, forcing the seller to pay an additional commission. This situation happens often enough that buyers actually need to be counseled before going to open houses. If you're a buyer and already have a relationship with an agent, when you go to an open house, it's best to let the open house agent know that you are already working with an agent. Let them know that you don't want to sign in. If the agent requires you to sign in, that's fine. Just be sure to write down the name of your agent next to yours. Better yet, include their phone number too. What really happens at an open house? Visitors at open houses aren't screened. Let me ask you this. How exactly is an agent supposed to screen open house visitors? Signing in upon arrival is not screening. An agent is lucky if half the people sign in even give their real information. It's all for show. Have you ever heard of an agent ask someone to leave or prevent someone from entering? It's rare. What happens when you allow your agent to walk strangers through your house on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon? First, most visitors will be looky-loos who are attracted to your home while driving to lunch or running errands. Almost everyone acts like a real buyer. Neighbors will also stop by because they know you're not at the house, and this is their only chance to see how you live. Open houses, an invitation to steal. When sellers sign a listing contract, they could be signing away more than they are aware of. Consider this from the CAR contract. The broker is not responsible for the loss or damage to personal or real property or persons, whether attributable to the showing of a home, lockbox, or even open houses. California contracts also state that the brokerage doesn't maintain insurance to protect sellers. Other states' contracts are similar. Do sellers realize this? I've sold over 500 homes and have never known a seller who was aware of this clause before I spelled it out for them. The following is a typical open house scenario that can quickly turn unmanageable. Imagine an ordinary couple walking into an open house where they meet the agent, which is the only person there, usually. The agent greets them just inside the door and tells them a little bit about the house. They thank the agent and say they're just looking. Then, at the invitation of the agent, they start walking around. Now, some agents will follow the couple as they walk around the house. But this can seem a bit too imposing since they just want to look and don't seem too interested in engaging. Also, the agent wants to stay close to the front door in case someone else walks in. Like, maybe a live lead. The agent decides to give a couple some space and maybe even lets them go upstairs unattended. What could possibly go wrong? Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, my agent would never let this happen. Sure. A common question at an open house is, may I use the bathroom? However, you're lucky if the person even asks. Many will just use it while the agent is distracted. How do you say no to someone who wants to quickly use the bathroom? The owner will never know, right? Also, the agent doesn't know if the people could be potential buyers, and who wants to be rude to a potential buyer? These situations happen often enough, but agents rarely mention them to the homeowner. It gets worse. The number one item that's stolen from open houses is prescription medication. And where are these prescription meds often located in the home? You got it, in the bathroom. I tell my clients if they really want an open house, they need to hide all their prescriptions. Meds, along with any other small valuables, are best taken completely out of the home. Better yet, put everything valuable in the trunk of your car and drive away. If you look at police department websites, you'll usually find regular warnings to homeowners and real estate agents about the risks of holding open houses. The agent promises that they'll keep a keen eye on what is going on. However, open houses usually means opening up to an uncontrollable situation that the agent cannot effectively monitor. If you ask your agent about screening the people who come into your home, their response is usually a combination of the following lines. I've never had a problem. I just know if a person coming into your home is up to no good. We never have problems like that in this nice of a neighborhood. Oh, I'll watch your house. Don't worry. It's incredibly difficult to determine the bad apples or drug users by their appearance. Visitors have been known to hide in closets or basements until the open house ends. Once the agent leaves, the thieves can grab what they want and bolt out the back door. There are also stories about people casing open houses so they can come back later to break in. How can an agent possibly determine if a visitor is there to case the house? The sign-in sheet doesn't cut it. Video in the house or a video doorbell doesn't do it either. It gets dangerous. Open houses are, in fact, so unsafe for agents that realtor associations constantly offer open house safety seminars and webinars. In the early 2000s, NAR started promoting Realtor Safety Week. It has now morphed into Realtor Safety Month, the whole month of September. Most agents who reported finding themselves in dangerous situations at open houses were women. In 2020, the typical realtor was a 55-year-old female. Many agents team up for safety, and many female agents will have their husband or boyfriend with them, often sitting in a back room reading a book, hoping he won't have to play superhero. At an open house, criminals know that the agent is isolated and in an unfamiliar setting. In most cases, agents don't know where to run or where potential weapons are located in case of an emergency. For many agents, an open house means their safety is in their own hands. This business can be harrowing. We spend a lot of time alone in vacant and occupied homes of strangers. NAR's 2020 member safety report showed that 23% of agents experienced something on the job that made them fear for their safety. Another 4% of agents said they had been victims of a crime while on the job. These days, agents are taking security seriously. NAR reports that 49% of agents are armed, either with pepper spray, a gun, a knife, or a taser, in that order. Agents are concerned, and as tough as it is for agents to say no to an open house, some are doing just that. The agent's role in an open house. As I'm sure you've guessed, I regard open houses and virtual open houses as the wrong way to sell a house. However, you still might think that an agent who does an open house is a hard-working agent. Let's do the math. It takes about 6 hours for an agent to execute an effective open house. They need a bunch of flyers, open house signs strategically placed throughout the neighborhood, perhaps a bit of door knocking, maybe even some print and online ads. Open houses also rarely end on time. A visitor almost always shows up around the end, and that person often happens to be someone who loves to talk. Usually a talker walks through the house while I'm trying to close up and won't stop talking, often after admitting disinterest in buying the house. Open houses are just a lot of effort. What else to consider about open houses? Perhaps what you've heard so far hasn't completely convinced you to avoid having open houses. If you insist on having an open house, have one and one only, and have it on the first weekend your home goes on the market. The agent's responsibility for that first open house is to attract as many buyers as possible. Additional open houses can make a seller appear desperate. If your home has been on the market for longer than the average time it takes to sell a home, then an open house suggests to buyers that there's little interest in the property and few offers, if any. You are basically announcing to the world that your home probably has no offers and, for some reason, you can't sell it. As a result, buyers will think there's a high chance that the seller will accept a lowball offer. Most honest agents will tell you that the more open houses you do, often the more damaging it will be to the ultimate sales price of your home. Another alternative to a slew of standard open houses is for your agent to host an open house exclusively for other agents, called a broker's open, broker caravan, or broker's preview. An ambitious seller's agent typically recommends it soon after they list the house. It's a great opportunity for these agents to see as much housing inventory as possible without a lockbox or an appointment. The goal of the broker's open house is to get agents into your house so they'll spread the word to their buyers. Broker opens are scheduled Monday through Friday from late morning to just after lunch, a slow time for the real estate agent. Depending on the market, it can often be more effective to hold a broker's open house up to 2 weeks after a home goes on the market. A week after you list your house, if you're not seeing the buyer activity you and your agent hope for, then the broker's open can give you a little boost. The broker's open house in my area is on Thursdays from 10 to 2. However, the broker's open also isn't without its problems. Because there will be signs up in the neighborhood for the broker caravan, looky-loos and neighbors tend to stop by. There isn't always a flow of agents coming. I recommend asking your agent how effective a broker's open house is in your area. In northern Los Angeles, for example, the broker caravans aren't always well attended, nor very successful at attracting good brokers. This is because the business has changed. Buyers now shop online more and more. Just say no. It has become clear that an open house is an ineffective, passive, and even dangerous approach to selling a house. The data supporting this is overwhelming. As an agent, I don't need to incorporate open houses into my business model because I have other ways to generate business. Simply opening doors to random visitors in the hopes they'll buy is a mistake.